美东时间3月24号星期三，北京时间3月25号星期四，欢迎收看美国观察，我们从美国首都华盛顿为您现场直播。白宫表示，阿拉斯加会议之后，布林肯国务卿与国安顾问沙利文已经向拜登总统报告会议内容。拜登政府持续与盟友讨论该如何面对中国，包括布林肯的欧洲之行。详细情况请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅。
美国国务卿布林肯以及白宫国安顾问沙利文在上个星期四以及星期五呢，在阿拉斯加会见了中国主管外交的杨洁篪还有王毅。那么在这个会开始之前呢，美中双方是言辞交锋十分的激烈。那么星期三的时候呢，在白宫新闻简报会上，白宫发言人沙奇则是表示说，布林肯跟沙利文已经向拜登总统汇报了他们这个会议当中的内容。那么接下来拜登政府要做的就是继续与盟友来协商，先看看怎么来制定对中国的政策。我们看一下白宫发言人沙奇今天在白宫是怎么说的。
I know that the president has spoken with Secretary Blinken and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan since their return. Obviously, they talk about a range of national security issues, ongoing policy processes that are ongoing. We're currently taking stock of where we are, which includes close consultation with allies and partners. As I noted, Secretary of State is in Brussels currently on the way forward, and we'll continue to work with China going forward when it's in the interest of the American people. So we're in...consulting internally, consulting with our partners and allies, and that's really the stage we're in at this time.
布林肯国务卿呢，在布鲁塞尔发表的演说的主题呢，这个标题就是说重申并且重思美国的联盟以及越来越武断的中国。同时，在国安顾问沙利文星期一在接受美国电视 MSNBC 采访的时候，也表示说呢，美国方面所关切的议题包括新疆、西藏、香港还有台湾呢，他都有在会议当中直接对中方的官员提出。那不过呢，在双方可以合作的地方，包括伊朗、阿富汗、气候变化等等，也都进行了讨论。沙利文说呢，他也明确的告诉了中国不要认为说呢，在这个地方跟美国合作就是在帮美国什么样子的忙，然后回过头来要求美国要放弃某一些的坚持。他说呢，在美方关注的议题上面，还是会继续的向中方要求，包括呢，像星期一的时候就因为这个中国在新疆侵犯人权的问题呢，而对中国的官员实施了制裁。那么针对杨洁篪在会议上面批评美国的人权状况，沙利文则是回应说呢，美国的人民都有宪法的保障，不同的意见的人都可以自由表达自己的意见，参与政治，然后借此来改善这个自己的情况，所以呢可以自由的争取权益。卡拉，
好的，感谢耀毅的连线报道。美国国务卿布林肯周三在比利时布鲁塞尔北约总部表示，中国对美国及北约盟国构成威胁，呼吁盟国合作，共同抵制北京的强迫措施。来看报道。
美国国务卿布林肯星期三在比利时布鲁塞尔与北约盟国外长会面后发表演说，强烈谴责中国广泛使用强迫措施，并敦促北约盟国与美国合作，加强对北京的抵制。布林肯首先批评了中国日益增长的军事野心。
The first is military threats from other countries. We see this in China's efforts to threaten freedom of navigation, to militarize the South China Sea, to target countries throughout the Indo-Pacific with increasingly sophisticated military capabilities. Beijing's military ambitions are growing by the year. Coupled with the realities of modern technology,The challenges that once seemed half a world away are no longer remote.
布林肯还强调，中国的行为对美国及盟友造成了安全还有经济上的威胁。
There's no question that Beijing's coercive behavior threatens our collective security and prosperity, and that it is actively working to undercut the rules of the international system and the values we and our allies share.
布林肯也表示，在应对诸如气候变化和健康安全等共同挑战方面，美国及盟国与中国仍有合作的空间，但他也呼吁北约在北京胁迫某一个盟国时站在一起。
We know that our allies have complex relationships with China that won't always align perfectly. But we need to navigate these challenges together. That means working with our allies to close the gaps in areas like technology and infrastructure, where Beijing is exploiting...to exert coercive pressure.
布林肯在周三的北约外交部长会议上会见了土耳其外交部长梅夫卢特·恰武什奥卢，讨论了美国还有土耳其之间安全合作的长期重要性，包括在叙利亚和阿富汗的共同利益，并敦促土耳其不要保留俄罗斯的 S-400 防空系统。另一方面，美国总统拜登预计周四与欧盟领导人举行视频会议。白宫声明称，拜登将与欧盟领导人讨论如何共同应对新冠疫情和气候变化，加深贸易还有投资关系，而中国和俄罗斯也将是重要议题之一。
国际社会严词批评中国在新疆地区打压维吾尔少数族裔，但是土耳其正在加深与中国的经济联系。本星期晚些时候，中国外长王毅将对土耳其进行访问。分析人士说，双方可能不会谈及新疆问题。来看美国之音记者琼斯发自伊斯坦布尔的报道。
本月早些时候，小米手机在伊斯坦布尔开设了一家工厂。土耳其技术部长穆斯塔法·瓦兰克在现场对中国的投资表示欢迎。小米在土耳其设厂是两国迅速发展的密切关系的最新进展。
Certainly, economic aspect, bilateral trade especially, that saw an exponential rise since 2000 or so in the last 20 years, and in the final 4 or 5 years, I would say it got much closer, not only in the economic sense, but in the political ideological sense as well.
中国最近买断了一家意大利公司持有的伊斯坦布尔新建三号大桥的股权。这座桥是当地的地标性建筑，中国目前是土耳其最大的投资者之一。由于欧盟国家针对人权问题向土耳其展开制裁，传统的欧洲投资者正在撤离该国。分析人士说，制裁措施使土耳其和西方渐行渐远。
This hostile actions against Turkey willimmediately and will eventually not force but let's say lineate Turkey with the Eurasian and Asian forces, Asian powers like Russia and China. Right now the Asian century started.
北京还在增加对安卡拉的金融援助，意在支撑不断贬值的土耳其货币。中国还是土耳其的头号新冠疫苗供应国。土耳其在加深对华关系的同时，对北京在新疆维吾尔人地区采取的压制政策基本保持沉默。但是在土耳其政府内部，也有人对中国日益增强的影响力感到不安。
Buradan geliyor Çin, ısıracak, hepimiz ısıracak. Görüyorsunuz insan haklarında hayvan gibi insanları öldürüyorlar. Uygur'da.
土耳其是维吾尔难民的主要接收国之一，这些难民包括很多异议人士。中国正在向土耳其施压，要求土耳其通过一项引渡协议，使其境内的维吾尔人可以被带回中国。预计中国外长王毅在访问土耳其期间，会就引渡协议问题再度施压。土耳其货币面临越来越大的压力，所以来自中国的支持格外重要。安卡拉因此面临艰难的选择。美国之音记者琼斯伊斯坦布尔报道。
美国贸易代表戴奇星期二与日本、法国、墨西哥和韩国官员讨论贸易关系问题，他们谈及了对中国等非市场经济国家的不公平贸易行为和人权问题的担忧。戴奇和英国国际贸易大臣讨论双边贸易关系时，也谈及如何应对中国的不公平贸易做法。戴奇上周被美国会参议院投票确认为美国贸易代表。中国已经成为拉丁美洲主要的疫苗供应商，美国拜登政府也制定计划开始和邻国共享疫苗。来看美国之音记者赛因的报道。
来自中国的科兴疫苗和国药疫苗抵达玻利维亚拉巴斯这家诊所，也带来了希望。玻利维亚就像其他拉美地区的国家一样，遭到新冠病毒的蹂躏。中国政府计划向53个国家提供疫苗，包括许多拉美国家，而且要促进疫苗的可获得性和可负担性。拜登总统说，他将重点放在让所有合格的美国人接种疫苗后才会出口疫苗。然而，他的政府正面临更多的问题，那就是美国为什么不和邻国共享疫苗供应，特别是还没有获准在美国使用的阿斯利康疫苗的库存剂量。现在白宫说， 政府计划首先和邻国加拿大与墨西哥分享一定剂量的阿斯利康疫苗。
I can confirm that we have 7 million releasable doses available of AstraZeneca. 2.5 million of those we are working to finalize plans to lend those to Mexico and 1.5 million to Canada.
专家说，大流行病从武汉起源之后，中国大规模的医疗用品共享行动已为北京带来外交上的推动力，以及在墨西哥、巴西和其他发展中国家的所谓软实力的影响。
China has been able to contain the pandemic within its borders more effectively than the United States and other Western democracies have. That means there's less demand for the vaccine in China, and it gives the Chinese government more breathing room to send vaccines abroad.
但国务卿安东尼·布林肯在访问亚洲时警告说，中国的医疗外交有附带条件，而大多数专家都认为中国的做法丝毫不软。
The way the Chinese are handling the vaccine distribution is not from a real magnanimous humanitarian attitude, but a pretty aggressive approach that essentially demands that Huawei get access to telecommunications auctions in Latin America, that Taiwan be held at arm's length throughout the region.
拜登说，他希望所有的美国成年人都能在五月一日之前注册接种疫苗。他还希望人们庆祝七月四日美国独立日假日，能再次安全的小规模聚会。专家说，如果这些能够做到，美国将可能成为全球疫苗的一个主要出口国。美国之音记者塞内报道。
在旧金山遭到攻击的亚裔老人谢肖珍的家人说，他希望把$900,000的捐款反馈亚裔美国人社区，以抗击种族主义。上星期75岁的谢肖珍无故遭到史蒂文·詹金斯的攻击，受了重伤。谢肖珍以木板回击打了这名男子，把他送进医院。同天，詹金斯还攻击了83岁的诺克范，致使老人住院。美国科罗拉多州联邦和地方当局表示，他们正在调查本星期在博尔德市一家超市开枪打死10人的男子的背景。详细情况，请美国之音记者许湘云来介绍。湘云。
好的，卡拉。我们知道，这起枪击事件嫌疑人21岁的艾哈迈德·阿利维·阿利萨居住在距离事发超市大约25公里的阿瓦达市，在星期一被警方逮捕，被送往医院治疗腿部枪伤，定于星期四出庭。警方的证词说，袭击现场发现了嫌疑人拿走的一些物品，包括一件绿色防弹衣、一支步枪、一把半自动手枪、一条牛仔裤和一件衬衫。物品周围有大量血迹。调查人员通过执法数据库确定，阿丽萨在枪击事件6天前购买了一支鲁格 AR-556 手枪。他的家人认为他患有某种精神疾病。阿丽萨一家从叙利亚来到美国。当局表示，他一生中的大部分时间都生活在美国。阿瓦达警局警探表示，嫌疑人有殴打同学和超速的前科。一个星期之内，美国发生2起大规模枪击事件，再次触发美国人对枪支管理的辩论。美国国会就这项议题进行一系列听证会，拜登总统也敦促参众两院做出行动，通过改善购枪背景审查漏洞的法案。停止枪支暴力协会高级倡议主任洛里·哈斯呼吁尽快制定措施，以避免憾事再次发生。
Yes, we have a lot that we can do. We need to pass background checks at the federal level so that that law applies to all 50 states. We also know that we can have risk orders, you know, laws that look at the risk for a person in crisis and access to firearms by that person who might be.Inclined to for self-harm or harm to others. We know that we need to fund research on gun violence and approach it as the public health epidemic that it is.
也就是亚特兰大枪击案的一周之后，大约1000人参加了在加州奥克兰市中国城举行的一场悼念守夜活动，纪念枪击事件死难者，呼吁停止针对亚裔的仇恨犯罪。
I'm heartbroken, honestly. It's heavy to see and to witness so frequently, which is part of why we need something like this tonight, for all of us to come together and just see each other and see each other in the pain and the hurt and also the immense amount of love that we have when we come together.
亚特兰大枪击事件枪手21岁的罗伯特朗被控犯有8项谋杀罪，警方表示正在确定这起枪击事件的动机。卡拉，
好的，感谢香云的详细报道。周三美股继续收跌，科技板遭遇抛售，投资者密切关注欧洲的第三波新冠疫情高峰。美联储主席鲍威尔及财政部长耶伦就经济复苏在美国国会作证。道琼斯指数收报32420.06点，跌幅为0.01%。纳斯达克指数收报12961.89点，跌幅为2%。标普500收报3889.15点，跌幅为0.6%。美联储主席鲍威尔及财政部长耶伦连续第二天出席国会听证会，两人认为疫苗的普及的进展和$19万亿的纾困计划发挥了积极作用，并且对美国经济前景持乐观态度。鲍威尔表示，今年的经济增长将非常强劲，他同时重申通胀的增长不会失控。耶伦今天再次暗示增加税收，尤其是企业税的计划。美国观察每天美东时间下午、北京时间早上6点到6点半，在 YouTube、推特、脸书平台同步直播。欢迎您在直播间给我们留言和提问，期待在今后的节目中与您互动，分享您的意见。美国国会众议院议长南希·佩洛西周二就美国、加拿大、英国和欧盟联手制裁中国政府迫害新疆维吾尔穆斯林一事发表声明。声明说，拜登行政当局协调实施的制裁措施非常清晰地表明，美国和国际社会团结一致，保护维族人的权利和尊严不受中国政府侵犯。佩洛西说，美国及其盟友将继续对北京践踏人权的行为进行追责，其中包括对西藏人民、香港人民和中国大陆的新闻工作者、人权律师和活动人士进行的迫害。美国两党多名参议员星期二推出决议案，对中国政府对待新疆维吾尔及其他少数民族的方式进行谴责，并呼吁对在新疆发生的侵犯人权和犯罪行为展开国际调查。与此同时，十几位跨党派参议员也提出决议，谴责北京继续压制香港的自治。美国、欧盟、英国与加拿大周一就新疆人权问题对中国官员实施制裁。北京政府迫害维吾尔族穆斯林的行径正在受到全球的审视和批评。华裔自由记者埃米利亚·庞在新书《中国制造：一名囚犯、一封求救信以及美国廉价商品的隐藏成本》中，讲述了中国共产党强迫劳动的系统和历史，并再次呼吁人们关注廉价商品背后可能存在的人权代价。
The reason why official regular Chinese factories outsource work secretly to labor camps is because they cannot actually make the product for that cheap of a price. Their official subcontractors cannot make that price for that cheap of a price. They have to outsource work to some really shady places like labor camps where detainees are not paid or paid far, far, far below minimum wage. And another factor that causes Chinese factories to use forced labor, use work from forced labor camps, is because they just cannot realistically make those products in that short of a time frame, and they have pretty high fees and fines if they miss their production deadline. And so they can outsource work to labor camps where detainees have to stay up 15 to 20 hours working. Sometimes they can stay up even 24 hours a day helping these factories meet a production deadline that our companies are asking them to meet. I think it's because a lot of corporations are just chasing the bottom line. They want the cheapest prices and they want products made at extremely fast pace in order to take advantage of profiting off of the latest trends as much as they can. And consumers are playing a role there too. We as consumers support companies that can offer the latest prices and the latest trends. I mean, sorry, the cheapest prices for the latest trends. Detainees held without access to a lawyer, without ever having gone to a trial, and they had to do manufacturing work for exporters, and they're often tortured if they don't denounce their ethnicity or political ideas or religious ideas, or just simply if they don't work fast enough to meet the production quota. You know, torture and violence and sexual abuse is very common in all of these camps. Invested a lot of money into developing Xinjiang as this major transportational hub for the Belt and Road Initiative, which is all about trade. So if we take trade out and take trade away from China, away from Xinjiang, then we can, that could be really strong leverage to push the Chinese government to rethink its policies towards Uyghurs, at least Uyghurs alone. For companies to market themselves that way, like ethically made or fair trade and things like that. We should make a new label that says Xinjiang free labor, no Xinjiang labor in this product, and just really start a movement to be more transparent and to organize transparency and sustainability policies and companies around the issue of Xinjiang. visit our favorite companies' websites and take a look. What are they actually saying on their sustainability page or their corporate social responsibility page? Are they revealing who they're sourcing from, how much money they actually give those companies to make the products, how much time they give the factories to make those products? If they're not really revealing this type of key information, then we can't really know for sure that they're not using forced labor.
美国搬家公司的最新数据显示，随着新冠大流行的猖獗，去年全美人口最多的30个城市迁出的都比迁入的人要多。美国之音记者柯辛斯基从纽约报道了一个从城市搬到乡村的家庭的故事。
2020年，洛杉矶县有66000多人无家可归，去年有将近23000人获得住房安置，但仍有成千上万人流落街头。一个临时的解决方案，青年服务组织洛杉矶保护团在七个地点建造了几百个小型预制房屋，其中一处二月开放，为这名妇女和其他几十人提供了私人的生活空间。
My money ran out where I was on the streets and I was trying to rent a motel that ran out. So then I was on the streets in a living behind the freeway.
在一名男子试图强暴他失败之后，他穿了好几层衣服来让攻击者知难而退。如今他的微型住房有暖气和空调，还有一扇可以上锁的门，提供了安全性。这个社区有39个住房，每个有6平方米，还有独立的公用洗衣淋浴和用餐设施，最终将有75人住在这里。它是由山谷希望慈善组织经营的。
You get three meals a day delivered on site. This is our dining area, or people can choose to take it back to their cabin.
市政官员从华盛顿州一家叫做托盘的公司购买这些房屋。
So this is our latest LA site, the Alexandria project. As you can see, we have units going up here. So we have some that are partially completed and some that are all put together.
这个地点将有103个住房，装备好的每个成本大约$11,000。这些社区的其他费用包括铺路、水电和下水道管线，从几十万到几百万美元不等。居民并不需要戒毒才能住进来，但他们必须把非法毒品和酒类存放在外面的个人储物柜里。这是一个提供安全和私密性的解决方案，获得许多当地官员的认可，包括加利福尼亚州里弗赛德市的前市长。他在庇护所里住了2星期，以提高人们对无家可归的意识。这里的居民有住所，还有针对性的社会服务。
Maybe for you it is mental health, or maybe it's an addiction, or maybe there's some trauma, and we're going to spend your entire stay here, be it 90 days or 120 days, really focused on addressing that one core issue.
然后再寻求帮助搬进永久性的住所，这个过程并不容易，因为获得补贴的住房有限，还有财务和情绪方面的挑战。
How are you gonna supposed to build your life? You know, how are you supposed to get back on your feet? It's hard. It's really hard.
这是处理无家可归问题的许多方法之一。
It's not the only model, but it is a good alternative for a segment of our homeless population.
有助于在解决一个巨大的社会问题上跨出一小步。美国之音记者奥沙利文洛杉矶报道。
美国观察每天美东时间下午、北京时间早上6点到6点半在 YouTube、推特、脸书平台同步直播。欢迎您在直播间给我们留言和提问，期待在今后的节目中与您互动，分享您的意见。以上就是今天节目的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次再见。